Rock 95. Spence, good morning. Just about 8 o'clock. It is part of our Police Officer Appreciation Month here, something we just decided to do here in January. Brought to you by Canoosa Casey, Rivers Edge Hospital and Clinic, and for Manish over in New Ulm, and the fire department as well. And on Tuesdays, we've been bringing in the Mankato Police Department, Matt DeRose, stepping in again this morning. Welcome, guys.
Good morning, Spence.
And you brought Sean in as well from the fire department.
Yes, Sean is here from the fire service, and I'll let him introduce himself.
Good morning. My name is Sean. I'm Sean Hayes, and I'm with Mankato Public Safety Fire Division.
Okay. Well, tell me about some of the stuff that's happening here in the wintertime or seasonally that you're concerned with in your department, things you see when you're out and about. And I know it's not just fire. I know there's carbon monoxide issues and all of that stuff.
There's a whole bunch of things that we're constantly keeping our eyes on and paying attention to. I think the obvious one with the snow would be fire hydrants and making sure that after the street departments come out and they do their plowing that the hydrants are cleared off. So we kind of always ask people to adopt a fire hydrant and just take a few extra minutes to shovel around it. That time is valuable for us if we need to respond and use the fire hydrants. If they're blocked with snow, it takes a lot for us to get them unclogged.
What do you recommend for like a neighborhood then to do that? Is it sole responsibility of the guy living closest to it? Do some neighborhoods work out a situation?
Yeah, I think it can be done in different ways. If there's a hydrant right by your house, for sure, that's an easy way to do it. There are neighborhood associations all through the city of Mankato that can kind of work together and maybe plot them out and assign responsibility. At the end of the day, however it needs to be done, it works for us to just have them cleared off.
Are there more concerns with fires in the wintertime or in the summertime?
I think it kind of statistically, it's throughout the year. In the winter, I think there is more of a chance for fires to start or happen because of using heating, other supplemental forms of heating. So there's maybe a risk there. But in the summertime, we still have fires too because of, barbecue grills and things there. So it's kind of the same throughout the year.
Do you guys get calls in for like carbon monoxide?
Yeah,
stuff
carbon
too?
Monoxide. We do get called to that. We respond to that. It's what we call kind of that silent killer. It's an odorless, colorless gas that is a byproduct of incomplete combustion. So if we're doing things in our home and we have our furnaces or our hot water heaters that aren't vented correctly or not operating right, mm-hmm. that carbon monoxide will build up in the house. And it can be fatal in some cases. But, in the wintertime, I think we see a spike in that because people might be starting their cars and they're doing it in their garage. And eventually that's going to seep into the home.
And you've got snow on the top of the roof.
Yeah, blocking the exhaust, yep. And it all just kind of builds up in the house.
What's rule of thumb? What's step one? The detector goes off.
Well, having detector is probably the first one. That's a big one. When we're talking about owner-occupied, we definitely want them in there. When it's rental property, we have a little bit more of a bite into that because of ordinances and codes, so we can enforce that. But I think step one is definitely having them in the home. We ask that they're at every level where there's people sleeping and a minimum of 10 feet away from the sleeping areas, from the bedrooms.
How many should you have in your house? Let's see if you've got two different levels.
If you have people sleeping on both levels, then one on every level. So okay, wherever they're sleeping on that level.
That's what you'd like to see.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, there's different types. There's battery ones, there's plug-in ones. I think the best protection is to have one that's plugged in and then it has a battery backup. That way we're protected. Even if we lose power, we have the battery. That detector is constantly kind of sniffing, as I call it, and it's looking for that carbon monoxide. And if it finds it at a certain level, it's going to alarm. And at that point, we just tell everybody to call 911 and exit the house.
Now, I've got two that I bought. These newer ones are just, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they have the ones with the digital display, so it tells you what the reading is.
Yeah, you get the percentage.
That's good to have. That's information that if something does happen and that gives a number, if that's the case, when we call 911, we ask that number gets relayed to our dispatchers. That way, the responding units kind of have a little bit of a heads up to what they might be walking into.
You know what, Sean? What happened to me last winter was I have an entrance from my garage to the house, and I was out blowing snow, and I apparently had maybe run the snow blower in the garage too long, mm-hmm. and I had come in the house. Maybe I left the door open for I don't know how long, but I had the alarm go off. Mm-hmm. Right, and then I had some gas, so I didn't know what was causing all of the issue, and then I had somebody come out. I followed the protocol, I called somebody out, I got out of the house. Mm-hmm. They said most likely it was probably from
running the snowblower in the
garage, any
combustion engine, definitely want to make sure we're outside, you know, of the garage, in the driveway. Same with cars. You know, that's something, unfortunately, where you see it a lot, where people have started their car because it's cold out and they're starting it and they're letting it run. Again, in the garage is not the best case. We ask to either have the garage door open or move the car out.
Lots of different things with fire prevention. I know a lot of things have really changed, especially with kitchen stuff over the last several years. You guys deal a lot with that?
Yeah, unfortunately, kitchen fires are the number one cause of structure fires, and that's nationwide. So especially when it's unattended. So people, you know, they get distracted. They start cooking. They move away from a little, you know, get distracted, go do something else. The fires start, and they quickly spread. You know, a big thing that we teach and we talk to people a lot about is the proper way to put out fires, especially grease fires, if we're cooking with grease. Unfortunately, it happens too much where people throw water on it, and then it just erupts it into it looks like a volcano. So there are the right way to use it, to cook and put fires out. If there's a cooking fire, placing a cover on top of the pan would put the fire out, or using the proper extinguisher.
Do they make different extinguishers just for like kitchen fires?
Yeah, they have a couple different things out there. They have what they call fire stoppers, I believe they're called. It's kind of a new thing that's out and on the market, where it looks like a round ball that kind of fits on top of the hood of your stove.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, those are out there. And what happens generates. I've never seen them used. I don't have any data to support if they're good or not. But they heat up and they'll heat up at a certain temperature, and then they drop. Gotcha. They discharge a powder, and it extinguishes fire.
There you go.
I think the best way of doing it is just putting a lid on top of that pan. Okay. Or if it's something in the oven that's on fire, keep the oven closed. Unplug the oven. You know, don't open it up to the elements.
Always, always, always have an extinguisher.
Always have one in the house. You know, have it nearby. That there's another aspect of having that extinguisher not only in the house is having it in the right area. You don't want to have it in a place that if you get to it and turn around to put the fire out, now you're blocking your means out. And just having it in the
good
right
thoughts.
Spot.
Well, you know your stuff, Sean. How long have you been doing this?
About 15 years. So.
Where are you originally from?
Actually from the East Coast, right outside of Boston, and I moved here in early 2000s.
So you dropped all of that East Coast stuff. You know, you don't like any Boston teams anymore. You don't. Clearly, you must not like the Patriots. You've adapted our ways. No?
For the sake of this interview, sure.
It's okay. I'm teasing you.
I'm a diehard Boston sports fan. I can't.
Okay, fine. That's all right. Yeah, I guess you've won a few.
Maybe.
Different teams.
Might be a few more coming to you sometime.
Well, thank you for coming in.
I appreciate having us.
Hogging the time here, Matt. What's coming up this week? I know we've got a lot of snow and things. People are always the concern is parking, all kinds of stuff when you have some snow issues and all of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
It looks like we're in for an undetermined amount of snow this weekend. So potentially as much as 6 to 12 is what I've heard on Friday. And so it means slow down, have your lights on. You know, there might come a point in time when travel is not advised. Keep your cars off the street. Let those plow drivers do their job and clean off the streets and make it so that everybody can travel safe and sound.
A lot more of those fender benders and stuff. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. How many do you get on a particular snow day, you think?
You know, it really depends. Yeah. The highways, there's just the higher speeds, I think, contribute out there. In town, it's just the volume of traffic, and so it really depends upon how many people are really needing to be out and about. Our street department is fantastic at being out there and clearing the roads and salting and sanding and doing all those sorts of things. So we're very fortunate to have a good crew to work with. And certainly limit the amount of time that we have to spend on crashes and pulling people out of ditches.
Are some of the like snow emergency things, is that available via text now somehow?
Yep, so you can go on the city's website, and there's a number of ways that you can sign up. There's texting, there's the email alerts, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, all sorts of different social media feeds. We try to push out messages through Nextdoor to the neighborhoods. We try to let as many people know as we possibly can. Unfortunately, people have to take some initiative and sign up for some of those alerts as well. Mm-hmm. And watch the news and listen to the radio and be mindful of that. But also kind of use some common sense in that if we get 3 or 4 inches of snow, you can at least assume, but maybe go seek out that information then.
Well, very good. Matt, Sean, thank you guys. Appreciate your time this morning for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Right. Well, we're going to talk a little music next week, though. We got to fire up some, because we need walk-up music for you, apparently. I didn't have any rage today. My apologies.
Eye of the tiger.
Eye of the tiger.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Spence.